And then our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be giving a little bit of a kind of an encouraging New Year's. We're going to go step away from Do You Really Know What You Believe series for tonight. And then so we talk a little bit about joy. It's tragic as so many people get discouraged and face a lot of anxiety and depression, discouragement during the holiday season, New Year. I want to talk about joy and joy that cannot be taken away. That will be tonight. In our Men's Coffee Fellowship, gentlemen, if you're ready, we'll be looking at Men's Coffee Fellowship is at 8:30 on Tuesday morning. Somewhere around 9 o'clock, some conversation breaks out around the Bible. And our topic or our verse for Tuesday morning is James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. James 1, 22 through 27. No theme or topic. We'll do like we did last time, kind of a free-for-all. Whatever jumps out at you. It worked out really well last week. Had great discussion was what we'll go with. So, and if we need to, we'll go over a couple weeks. James 1, 22 through 27. In 1983, Michelle and I drove cross-country from East Tennessee to Killeen, Texas, Fort Hood. And it didn't take me very long when we found a church to find out that song, the first time I ever heard it, was sung at Killeen Baptist Temple. And I figured out real quick it was the pastor's favorite song just because that was a song he sang the loudest on every time that we sang it. Many, many moons ago. Wow, 1983. And that's something, a song that I have enjoyed as well for many years after hearing it for the first time there at Killeen Baptist Temple. All right, thank you so much again for being here. Those visiting with us, the church has had a tradition of praying for the message, praying for their pastor, as pastor prays for the men of our church, Lord, before the preaching, and we'll do that. So please join us if you would this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so very grateful for the privilege and opportunity of being here in your house today. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. Father, help us not take for granted the little things that we still have the liberty and freedom to do in our country, like come together and assemble and worship and to praise you and to lift our voices and to hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray that you would bless our men, bless each and every man that's here today. And Lord, especially these harvest men that I've done my best to pour a portion of my life in over the last almost 3 years and them into me as well. I thank you for them. Father, would you bless them? Would you encourage them? Would you protect them from sin? Protect them from physical harm and distress? Father, guide their heart, their ears, their mind, their tongue, and Father, help them to be the godly men and leaders at home, as well as at work in their community and here at church. We thank you for the men that are joining us and visiting with us today. We pray your blessings upon them. We pray they've enjoyed the service and the Word of God would speak to their hearts today. Lord, we praise you and thank you for our ladies here at Harvest Baptist Church. What a joy it is to serve the Lord alongside of them. I pray your blessings upon them and help them as they strive to serve you and to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Encourage them, strengthen them further as they've been such a blessing to their pastor and pastor's wife. We could pray that you continue to bless them and give them good strength in ministry and service, Lord, here at Harvest. Father, we thank you for those who labor with our children's ministry and the nursery and with our ushering and with our parking lot detail. Lord, we are so grateful for those who are willing to give of themselves to serve their fellow brother and sister in Christ. So we praise you for them. Please bless them and encourage them. Father, I pray that you'd help me today, that you'd give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech as I preach the Word of God this morning. Help me, Lord, not to be concerned of who may or may not be here this morning, but to preach what you've put on my heart, what is in the very Word of God as it is. Father, I pray that you'd help me. And then, Father, again, we do ask if there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who is struggling in their walk, Lord, maybe even struggling with sin, that you would encourage them and remind them who they are in Christ and help them and encourage them and strengthen them. Father, may no one leave here today without, number one, knowing that they're saved, and may no Christian leave here today without knowing they are walking with and for the Lord Jesus. Father, again, help me today, we ask, in the wonderful, precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. See myself tripping over those things here in a minute. All right, before Brother Cherry comes and sings for us this morning, we'd like to read one passage of Scripture, 1 John chapter 5, and we'll finish up verse 18 today, and we'll go to the next set of verses next week. Again, it's hard to believe we've been 14 months in the book of 1 John. We'll be finishing it up over the next week or two, and then we'll go right into 2 John. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 18, we'll focus on the latter part of the verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Last week, the lifestyle of the Christian, and this morning, the protection of the Christian.
Obviously, I'm not Mike Cherry. We switched since he has been ill for the last several days.
Appropriate song to go with our message this morning. That's the key of not being beat up by the devil, is walking with the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. You're still going to get beat up a little bit, but you're not nearly as bad, because if you're serving the Lord, there's no doubt he is not happy with what you're attempting to do. So as we mentioned last week, we looked at the lifestyle of the Christian, and today the protection of the Christian there in verse 18, and that last phrase in verse 18, that wicked one toucheth him not. Churches today are filled with people that are religious but act like the devil. I don't know if they are demon-possessed, but they act like it sometimes. And we'll talk about both today. You see, ungodly people can show up in, can show up in godly churches. Let me say that again. Ungodly people can show up in godly churches. In fact, demon-possessed people can show up in godly churches as well, as we'll look at an example. Because see, Jesus himself confronted a demon-possessed man in a synagogue. Luke chapter 4, lots of scripture today. I'll try not to go too quickly, but they'll be on your overhead as well, and it's in your handout there in the bulletin if you want to look ahead for the next set, if it's hard for you to see the screen. Luke chapter 4, verses 33 through 37. And in this synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. So we're in a synagogue, here's someone possessed. And cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" Yes, even Satan and his demons recognize the Lord Jesus for who he is. "Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. See, there are many reasons for the presence of demons, and it does happen, as we see here, even in church. When we look at Judas, we find he was one of the 12 disciples who sat at Jesus' feet, but we know who Judas was. As you can see, Satan does have people working in the Lord's work to disrupt it. They're not there to be a blessing by any means. Friend, it is not religion that changes a person's life. It is faith in Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with Him. As Miss Nancy sang about this morning, it's walking with Him, having a relationship with Him that makes a difference in our service for Him. See, if there is no change in your life, it is possible there is no Jesus in your heart. Let me say that again. If there is no change in your life, it is possible there is no Jesus in your heart. Even the demons that we just read about here in the book of Luke chapter 4, they recognized, they knew who Jesus was. Knowing who Jesus is doesn't make you born again. It's submitting unto your sin, recognizing your sinner, saying, Lord, forgive me, and putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had this conversation with my 9-year-old granddaughter earlier this month. Can you imagine a 9-year-old young lady coming up in you and saying, Lord, Papaw, I'd like to talk to you about those demons that got kicked out of heaven. I said, well, sure. See, demons were former angelic beings who were kicked out of heaven with Lucifer or Satan. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verses 3 through 4, that 1/3 of heaven's host followed Satan. Here was young Ivy's biggest question. Why would angels follow the bad guy? Why would angels follow Satan? Why would the angels follow Lucifer? And my best answer I could have today is the same reason why people today follow Satan. Sweetheart, I don't fully understand, but here's what I do know. He is the prince and the power of the air. And that should be a warning to us in his ability. It should be a warning to us to realize that Satan does want to disrupt us. Now, the Bible says in Revelation 12, 3 and 4, and there appeared another wonder of heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. As far as I can tell, by this context of Revelation chapter number 12, the dragon is a reference to Satan, the stars of heaven are a reference to the angels, and the child is a reference to Jesus, who was under a satanic attack soon after his birth. And dear friend, if he has the audacity to attack Christ, he has the audacity to get in his way, do you not think he's going to mess with us as well? Do you not think he's going to do what he can to detour, to attack, and discourage us? Demons are very real, and they do exist. See, demons are fallen angels who joined Satan in his rebellion against God and are now evil spirits under Satan's control. See, demons help Satan tempt people to sin and have great destructive powers. See, there's no such thing as the devil made me do it. It's maybe the devil tempted me to do it. The devil showed me how maybe I think I can do it and get away. But no, we make a decision. And the best way to keep from falling into that, as we heard the special music this morning, is having a relationship and a walk with him and keeping short accounts. Again, demons help Satan tempt people to sin and do have great destructive powers. People who toy with the occult, Satan worship, seances, the New Age movement, the use of illegal mind-altering drugs, a Ouija board and satanic game, open themselves to demon possession or demon oppression. See, demons can disrupt you physically, mentally, and spiritually. When you study the New Testament, you find that nudity and sensuality are byproducts of evil or demonic activity and influence in a person's life. The book of Luke, chapter number 8. There's no doubt that he is very present in Hollywood. Amen. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. See, evil spirits cause men and women to lose their sense of shame and consciousness. Ask a missionary, when pagans in the jungles trust Christ, one of the first things they do is begin to clothe themselves. The man in Luke chapter 8 ran around naked because evil spirits destroy a man or a woman's sense of modesty, privacy, and respect in their lives. See, if you are sensual, if you are immodest, you are immoral, you have a sin problem. I'm sorry, that's what the Bible says. If you are immoral, if you have sensual, immodest dress in your life, you have a sin problem. This does not mean you are demon-possessed, but you are under a sinful influence. You see, the activity and influence of Satan today is displayed rampant sensuality and immorality in our society today. Doesn't take long to turn on the television. Doesn't take long to run to channels. In fact, in some cases, it doesn't take long, depending on where you're driving, to see on the billboards some of this activity. See, demonic spirits crave embodiment, and so demon possession consists of one or more demons inhabiting a human or even an animal. Luke chapter 8 again, verse 32 through 33. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. See, demon possession is a terrible curse on an individual. Demons do not inhabit people to bless them, but to curse them. When someone is possessed, the demon or demons take control of the personality of the body or the person they are in. Demons can speak through the mouth of the possessed individual, and they can even answer or speak when they are addressed. The consequences of such possession can be insanity, blindness, deafness, dumbness, fevers, epilepsy, and all feats of superhuman strength. Missionaries in pagan countries have shared some hair-raising stories, and so have some American pastors. See, the erratic behavior of some criminals and political leaders through the world suggests demon possession. It makes you wonder what those letters are before their name. I believe Charles Manson and Adolf Hitler, some of y'all get that in a minute, were demon-possessed, especially when you look at atrocities that they committed. So, what about Christians? What about the believer? What about the follower of Christ? See, we know that demons can possess a person who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can demons indwell a person who is saved? Can they possess a person who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible provides answers for those questions. You see, when we examine the Scriptures, we find no clear example where a demon indwelt, possessed, or invaded a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere. You will find also that there were no warnings to believers in the New Testament about any possibility of being demon-possessed. Demon-oppressed? Yes. I mean, the Lord did tell Peter, Satan has desire to sift thee, no possession but oppression, and the pressure will be applied. The Bible again provides these answers. The New Testament does not speak of the binding or the casting out of demons in a Christian. The epistles of the New Testament never instruct believers to cast out demons, whether they from believers or unbelievers. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles were the only ones who cast out demons. And in every instance, the demon-possessed people were unbelievers. believers. When we look at the teachings of the New Testament, we find out that demons cannot indwell a genuine Christian. What do you mean, Pastor, a genuine Christian? One that hasn't just given lip service, but one who has truly repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, again, as I've mentioned before, just like Billy Sunday said, walking into a garage doesn't make you a car no more than being a church member walking in a church makes you a believer. It's when we realize that in our sinful condition that we're going to bust hell wide open, realizing that Jesus came, he lived and he died, and he rose again for the remission of sins. And until we realize our need for Christ because of our sins, repent of those sins and turn to Christ for salvation. That's genuine Christianity. See, again, a demon cannot inhibit a body of a person who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has delivered us from this kind of situation. God has delivered us from satanic possession, and I say hallelujah, amen. I have a hard enough time fighting him off, much less him indwelling me, and I praise the Lord for that, and we should be on guard. We should have a relationship with the Lord that will help us when he does oppress or pressure us. Again, a few passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 15 and 16. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the middle part there, we covered this several weeks ago. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, Satan and his henchmen, however, can oppress the believer through sickness, through temptation, and death if the Lord allows it. Job is a good example in the Old Testament. Yes, he can only if the Lord allows us. But dear friends, let me tell you something. The devil is not happy about any church gathering together any day of the week. He is not happy of us singing the praises of our Lord and singing of the blood of the Lamb and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not happy when we open our Bibles and read. He's not happy when we pray and go before the Lord in such great humility and supplication on the behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He is not happy when we praise him and when we fellowship with other believers of like faith. No, he wants to distract, he wants to discourage, he wants to rob us of our time when we desire to do that. Think about the Apostle Paul, who was pestered by the satanic battle that he had. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Dear friends, if we yield or cater to our fleshly, sinful desires, if we become spiritually cold and hard-hearted, we are very capable of doing some terrible things, even though we are Christians. Rhetorical question. Have you ever said something you wish you could grab and take back before it was heard? Maybe if we ever done something that we wished if we could go back again, we would do it differently. Yes, we're not immune to sin. We're not immune to Satan's attack. Being born again means I am sealed. I'm on my way to heaven when the Lord decides to take me home or returns. But until then, I can face the oppression of Satan. I can. I can face the attacks and the discouragement that will come my way. Dear friends, there's no need to fear. But there's a reason to be on guard and alert and accept the facts that being born again gets me to heaven, but it does not give me immunity from Satan's attack in my life. We need to be prepared as we serve the Lord. Satan can cause much havoc if we compromise with sin. See, the best way to not compromise with sin is have accountability. Have an accountability partner, gentlemen. Have an accountability partner, ladies. Have someone willing to ask you, how's your Bible reading? How's your Bible study? How's your prayer life? Being in church when you can able to be here, not providentially hindered. Being in the Word daily. Some time ago, years ago, and I've done this a few times, but I'm going to go back years ago, when I made the decision to, I was going to fast for a season. There's something in our life that Michelle and I really need. We were in Bible college. And I went on my journey of fasting. I had only water. And again, I've told you before, if you're on medication, I encourage you, make sure that if you need to eat to take your medication, you do it. God knows, God understands. I believe you can still eat a small portion of food to take your medicines and still fast. But here's what I want to get to. During that season, after some period of time, I was warned by one of my college professors, young man, how's it going? He figured out that I was fasting. I'm not quite sure how, but I'm glad because he pulled me aside. He said, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how far you're in, but Satan will come and attack you. Physically, you're weak. Physically, you're drained. You're doing a spiritual thing because you're begging the Lord to help do something in your life, in the life of your family. But that does not immune you from Satan's attack. You're weak. You haven't eaten. You've only had water. You faced some things already. You need to be on guard. I'm not telling you to give up. I'm telling you to be aware and be on guard. What I'm trying to say, just because you're serving God doesn't mean that Satan won't try to poke at you. Doesn't mean that he may not try to interfere or discourage you or keep you away from doing a good thing, several good things. If you're being discipled, it's a good thing that you're meeting weekly to help you in your walk. If you're discipling someone by encouraging them and staying with them and helping them walk in the Word and being in the Word on a regular basis and not just your discipleship, that's a good thing. Whether they're sitting down and reading our Bible, being at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever we're able to be here, is a good thing. But guess what? Satan will do all he can to distract you, to discourage you, or to keep you. He will even let you know that, you know what? You're probably really sicker than you really are. You're probably feeling a lot worse. You know, that headache, man, you're just going to be so uncomfortable in church today. What I'm trying to say is Satan will do all he can, whether you're serving him or not, to cause havoc in your life. If you're not saved, he can possess you. If you are saved, he cannot possess you, but he can oppress you. He can get in the way. I wanted to put a mother-in-law joke in here, but I decided not to. Satan can cause much havoc if we compromise with him. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20. Holding forth in a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Yeah, there are times when we, even as believers, are not careful, we can go the wrong way. We can be discouraged. We can give up, or we can get comfortable. But, an example, and I'm almost finished this morning. There's been time in my life, in my married life, and there's been time in my life when I was growing up, and I'll compare the two. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I get to it. I can remember a time in my life, the only reason we put a little clip on the screen door at night so my brother who slept walked wouldn't walk out the front door. The door was wide open, the windows were open, and the screen door was there in its place. Only reason it was latched to keep my brother who slept well, at least we think he was sleepwalking, not just getting out, but to keep him from getting out because he couldn't reach. Here today, there's some places I've lived on military bases where I didn't feel like in my military career that it was always necessary to lock the door. I felt comfortable opening the windows. There was times I lived in high-rise buildings on the 17th and 18th floor. I felt comfortable opening the windows and letting some air in. But we live in a time today that, dear friends, I've got an alarm system on my house. I lock the front door. Before I go to bed, I check the windows if the grandkids are there. I check the sliding door that it's locked and there's a dowel rod in each side. I make sure the front door is locked, the garage door is locked, and the alarm is set because of the type of the world that we live in today. See, that's a little bit of, I was trying to think of a word and I lost it, Brother Sam. Kind of like OPSEC, just security, keeping in mind our surroundings around us. And I'm even a little more alert when my granddaughters are there visiting with us. Dear friends, we live in a day today, I think as Satan is alive and his demons as much as he has ever been in our lifetime. I think it's just as important that we keep the latch on the door of our mind. We keep a lock on the mind, the eye gate, the ear gate, that we keep guards in place to protect us. There's places, gentlemen, we just shouldn't go. There are things that we shouldn't partake and be involved in. There's programs on TV we probably should not watch, not probably. There are things out there that we should be aware of. And it's all because of Satan and his demons have a desire to distract us, to catch our attention, to get us sidetracked. It happens a couple times. Oh, it didn't affect me. And before long, there you are in fully treading water in a life of sin. Dear friends, I've said it before, I'll say it again. No man, no woman who fell into sin, gross sin, woke up one day and decided, I'm going to sin today and embarrass my wife, my husband, and my family. I'm just going to have a heyday. No, it happens gradually over time. And it's so important that we realize that we guard the eye gate, the ear gate. We guard our speech and the things that we do, that we're aware as believers. No, I cannot be possessed, but I can be oppressed. I can be attacked and tempted by Satan. Dear friend, no one ever drifted into holiness or into successful, victorious Christian living. That only comes when we align our priorities with God's priorities, putting His desires and His commands ahead of our own. The temptation to put something or someone else in God's place has been drawing people away from Him for thousands of years. No matter how much we try to rationalize or try to explain it away, if we do not love God above all else, we are sinning and subjecting ourselves to Satan's attacks. So, gentlemen, ladies, how secure is that blinder for your eyes? How secure is the eye gate, the ear gate? How secure is your mind in keeping it from wandering and being places it should not be? Do you have the courage to say, no, I don't want to partake? Do you have the courage to turn and walk away? Do you have the courage to speak up when something is borderline a concern where it might go? Dear friends, we need to understand and realize in the world that we live in today, there is no doubt. Yes, God is with us. Yes, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your lifestyle of the Christian we spoke about last week is correct, yes, we are protection. But our protection is only as good as our relationship with Christ. That little latch that went on the door would never keep a thief out. But it would keep my brother from getting out of the house until he learned to get a chair to get up on it to open the latch. But the point I'm trying to make is we need to make sure we have safety guards in place, accountability partners in place, and living and serving our Lord in a way that it pleases Him. So as we close this morning, I want to remind you, though we cannot be possessed, we can still be oppressed and attacked. Do you have safety guards in place? Do you have protections there for yourself? Do you have accountability? If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not trying to scare you, but what I'm trying to tell you and warn you about, there's something even worse than being demon-possessed, and that's being cast into hell, into outer darkness. Yes, it's a curse. Yes, it's bad. But why not today, if you've never repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, why not do that today? It will make you immune from hell, but it will not make you immune from Satan's attack. Let me encourage you, Christians, stay in the Word. Stay and keep your prayer life up to date. Keep short accounts. Have accountability partners and friends. Fellowship with others who sharpen you. And gentlemen, those who feel like you need to be sharpened, spend time being sharpened. For those of you that are still getting sharpened and feel like you're sharpened well, make sure you spend time with others that desire to be sharpened, that you might mentor and encourage and help them in their Christian walk. We have young men today that are facing things, gentlemen. If you're my age or older, let's go a little bit further back. If you're 40 years old and older, our younger generation are facing things that we have never thought of. They are facing temptations and things that are getting in today on those phones and the computers and everything else is out there that we never thought of. We need to make sure we're setting a godly example and willing to help them, to mentor them, to encourage them, and sometimes even asking the hard questions, even though they didn't ask you to. Asking, how's your Bible study? How's your devotion time? How's your prayer life? And it's only we ask because we care and we want the next generation to be stronger than us. We want the church for the next generation to thrive and see our world change because of people coming to know Christ and walking with the Lord. So as we close this morning, dear Christian, how's your walk? How's your relationship? Are you keeping short accounts? Do you understand the realization that you can be oppressed, or have you been thinking safety and that I'm saved on my way to heaven? That doesn't exempt you from oppression, doesn't exempt you from attacks, but keeping short accounts, staying in the Word, working on and building your prayer life. And your friends, I had a discussion with one of my men early this morning by text. I don't know about you, but I hope that I always feel this way, that there's room for improvement in my prayer life. There's room for improvement in my Bible study. In other words, I should have a desire for it to be better all the time. My prayer life, my Bible study, my worship, my adoration, my supplication on the behalf of others, and most importantly, my confession in keeping things right with the Lord. So, gentlemen, how's your prayer life? How's your Bible study? How's your mentorship? How is your faith growing in the Lord? And then lastly, do you have someone that you've latched on to help you grow? Have you latched on to someone that you can help grow? And ladies, I'll apply the same thing to you. Are you mentoring anyone? Are you encouraging anyone? Are you doing all you can to help them to grow spiritually? Dear friends, every Christian needs a mentor, and every Christian needs to be a mentor to those who need to grow in the Lord. Let's stand together for prayer this morning. The protection of the Christian. That protection is available, dear friends, but only if we seek it, only if we practice it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'll have a word of prayer in just a moment, and we'll go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house today. And Father, we pray that something has been said today to get the attention of maybe someone who needs to consider their walk and evaluate the relationship with you. Maybe there's someone here today that's not sure, has questions and doubts about their salvation. They would get it settled today. Father, whether it's someone who needs to come with a personal relationship with you or the one who already has one but needs to improve that relationship, Holy Spirit, dear Lord, we pray that you do what only you can do is speak to the hearts of your people this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, our pianos is playing. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, where you stand or here at an altar, why not do business with the Lord this morning? How is your walk, Christian? How is your relationship with the Lord? Is it the best relationship that you have in your life? Or is there a relationship somewhere else that's better? Are you spending sufficient time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer? Are you growing? Do you know more of the Lord as you evaluate this year in than you did last year? What are your goals for the new year in your walk and relationship with the Lord? Dear friend, if you don't know the Lord, you have questions and doubts about your salvation, why not come today and let us take the Word of God and show you how you can know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. I look forward to seeing you folks back tonight. If you're able to make it, again, joy that cannot be taken away tonight in our evening service. And as always, that God loves you and his preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Let me encourage you and remind you, gentlemen, again, one other time, please let me encourage you. I've enjoyed our time around the table on Tuesday mornings for those who can make it. Some are working, have things get in the way, you can't make it. It's important. But it's not just for that one day a week. It should be throughout the week that we try. As the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, being an encouragement, making a phone call. Those of you who have work on a regular basis can't make it on Tuesdays. When you're off, please come by. Or if you're off another day, I'm happy to meet you for fellowship, a cup of coffee, just to encourage and talk and to be not just your pastor, but to be your friend, if you'll let me. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back and greet you folks as you make your way out. And again, I really appreciate you.